This is a recording of the experiences and reminiscences of Jean Lindquist. The interviewer is Betty Trunell, and the narrator is Mrs. Lindquist. The recording is being made at the request of the Decatur Public Library in Decatur, Illinois, at the Jean Lindquist Salon of Photography, 300 West Prairie Avenue in Decatur on May 31st, 1983. Well, Mrs. Lindquist, can you tell us something of your life in Decatur and other places, too, for that matter?
Yes, well, when I'm asked how I became involved in photography, my answer is I merited, because I came to Decatur to visit a friend and met John G. Lindquist, a very prominent photographer. And at that time, I was a legal secretary in Springfield. And when I met him, he invited me and the friend into the studio and did portraits of me, which he subsequently sent me. Well, this started a very fast romance. And in about 3 months, we were married. And I maintained my position in Springfield for a period, and then he felt that I should move to Decatur, and so I put in my resignation to the office, and they said, "We don't want a resignation from you, we want a leave of absence." I think they felt perhaps that they wanted me to be protected in case my marriage didn't work out. But I didn't go in with that in mind. My, at that time, marriages were more sincere, may I say, than perhaps they are now. So in course of time, I did resign. And then I started to learn photography, which was entirely a different field. And in the meanwhile, we took a belated honeymoon to Europe and spent 5 months visiting friends and relatives in France and in Sweden. And when we returned in 27, we formed a partnership. And because at that time I had learned the foundation of photography, and also I attended photographic school in Winona Lake, Indiana. And in the course of time, I taught there in my career, because things begin to happen. And in 1939, my husband passed away. And I was ready then to go on with the business, because I had all the background to carry on. And at that time, I was facing the war era that was developing, and the closeness of families. They were desperate to be photographed in a family and then in the uniforms, and it was a heartbreaking process. I felt I must do a good job. This may be the only photograph there will be. So it was a great challenge. And surely these men went out and some never came back. So I felt that it was a duty that I had. Unfortunately, we became restricted on materials. And we had a portion, what allocation on materials we had with these families. So that against business sense, where you sell, we had to restrict. Because we felt the more families we could cover with material we had, the more service we were giving our Decatur people. So this became my duty during the war. And in the course of time then, I got involved, or preceding this, in fact, we were doing the photography of high school seniors in the Stephen Decatur High, which at one time was the main high school. And then when it was divided, MacArthur, we also were assigned to do MacArthur High School seniors, And those are the only two because we felt we could not cover adequately any other schools. So we did not bid. And this gave us a great acquaintance with families in Decatur. We had a close touch. We just loved these children. They came in to us and talked to us about their ambitions in life. We followed their ambitions as they went out in the world. And when they were successful, we said we knew them. We remember that they had the ambition to go ahead. So this is the reward that you get for meeting people, photographing them, touching their lives, and becoming part of their life. As a photographer is a little bit like a physician. He has an intimate touch with families. At least in the past, this was so. The picture has changed now. There isn't the closeness in family contacts with business that there was during a great period. It's everything is speeded up, volume and numbers, not the individual touch, which of course we regret, because having trained into that individual service, we cannot adopt other methods. So of course this is the thing, that the rewards have been that we have made all these wonderful contacts with Decatur people. We were part of Decatur. We saw the changes that have come in Decatur. Some of it we regret, but there's not much you can do. Life goes on and times change. So we have in all those years become sort of a fixture, let us say, of Decatur. In 1947, right after the war, there was a great, we had a studio downtown. There was a great scramble for location of businesses, and everybody wanted. We had no lease, and our lease had run out. We were told that we would have to give up the space. And God was taking care of us, because this mansion became available right at the time. In fact, my mother at the time said, "Gene, what are you going to do? You have to get out of this place by June 1st and you've done nothing." This was April. I said to her, "God's going to take care of me." And I went out on the street, and as I met a gentleman, and I said, "You didn't know," in the course of time I told him, "You didn't know you were God that morning, because you told me about the house that was available." And so we started negotiating for it, and then we had to go through the zoning process to have this indicated as a professional. It was an artist clause that permitted us to come into this area. Subsequently, the doctors located all around here. This was to be a medical center, this area. And then, all of a sudden, again, this has changed, because the medical centers were not in this area. They were near the hospitals. But while serving in the Chamber of Commerce, I was in touch with these areas that were so designated. And so again, as I say, pictures change. No one knows what the future is going to be. The top brains don't know it, so why should a little guy know it? So of course, all of this service, I was quite involved in the Association Illinois and the National Association, so I began to get offices in these periods. Now then, would you like me to tell you later? Well, I was in, let's see. First, I received my degree of Master of Photography in 1947, which was awarded to me at the Conrad Hilton in Chicago at their big awards banquet. And at that time, there were just few masters of photography in the country, so it was quite a feature when one of the women came up with this degree. But subsequently, this opened up. And In 1940, I was featured in a book in Who's Who in Photography in the United States. This was a publication put out by Charles Abel of Cleveland, and articles and photographs were featured in this. And I served as a director in the various offices of the Illinois Professional Photographers Association, and subsequently, in 1952-53, I became its president, the one and only woman who has served in that capacity in Illinois. And I received in 1960 a national award for Illinois in professional photography. I'd receive a director's award from the Professional Photographers of America in 64. I served on national committees for the Photographers Association of America, conducted seminars in 15 states as well as Hawaii, and served as national hospitality chairman for many years until I decided I'd had enough and I resigned. But it gave me contacts with every state in the union, people in the profession, and I made great friends. I knew them all. Of course, they knew me. It was easier for them to know me than. But I was able to have great liaison between the states with this national hospitality chairmanship. I became a member of the American Society of Photographers by invitation in 59, and then I served as its president in 1966. At its annual banquet at Conrad Hilton in Chicago, I had the honor to present a citation to General George Goddard for his work in infrared photography during the Vietnam War. It was quite an honor. In 66, as a member of the Photographers Association of America committee, I made a presentation of the Nieppe Daguerre plaque to the French ambassador at a ceremony at the Washington Hilton Hotel. That was another sort of a highlight. I hold life memberships in the Photographers Association of America and the Associated Professional Photographers of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Ohio Professional Photographers Association. I'm a past member of the British Institute of Photography. In 69, I became an elector to the Photographic Arts and Science Foundation, and I was elected to the Hall of Fame of Photographic Arts and Science Foundation of America in 1978. Three of my photographs were accepted for hanging at Santa Barbara. I'm a member of Zonta Club of Decatur since 1940 and served as local president in 45 and have served on its boards and various committees. In 1977, I received the Bob Johns Award for Meritorious Service to Photographers by the Associated Professional Photographers of Illinois. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and I served on its board of directors in 72 to 75. I was the first woman to serve in that capacity. I served on the board of directors of the Macon County Chapter American Red Cross. And for my years of service to Boy Scouts, I received the Lincoln Trail Council 121 plaque, which was quite a surprise to me, and I appreciate it. I appeared in the Personalities of the West and Midwest edition in 71 of the American Biographic Institute, and featured in World Who's of Women in 1978 edition of the International Biographicals, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, those are some of the highlights of the honors. And, of course, all these years, it was my privilege, as in the national committees, to make contacts of photographers from all over the world and very important personalities in other fields. So those are the rewards that you have for devoting service to your profession.
Well, that was really a thrilling story of your career, how it started and how you pursued it and some of the experiences you had, and especially the rewards. And we really congratulate you on all of the honors that you received and the service that you gave to the city. From what you said, you certainly were a very important part of the life of Decatur, and it makes a very interesting story of what a person can do for a city and in a city. Now, I'd like to ask you, Mrs. Lindquist, a few questions. Some you touched upon in what you told us, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more. Now, when you told us about your travels with your husband, you said you went to France and Sweden. Now, I happen to know that those were both very special places to you.
Yes, they were, because my husband, of course, was very anxious to meet my relatives in France, and I was anxious to meet his relatives in Sweden. So we did take 5 months to visit both France, Sweden, and other countries, mostly France and Sweden. And of course, my people in France gathered, well, though the Paris cousins all gathered, and we were photographed in the Tuileries, and we have wonderful photographs of this group. And when I think of today, getting that many people together at one time, it would not be possible, but in those days you could. And then we visited in northern France, where my lands, France, where I was born, and there they gave us a banquet that lasted from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night. There were dishes stacked all over the place, plus the wines that were served. But the reason it lasted so long, the courses were many, but in between courses, everybody had to do a skit, which was very funny. My husband didn't even know French, but he fitted in with the whole system. In fact, my cousins in Paris loved him so that when he subsequently visited France, I didn't go with him on that trip, they picked out a studio where we were going to move into near the opera. They just thought that we belonged over there, and his people in Sweden thought it would be so much nicer if we lived in Paris, so they could run to Paris and see us instead of coming way over here. So, of course, when he picked this location out and came back to the United States and propositioned me with it, I said, John, we have built a business in the United States. We would have to build a business in France. You just don't do it overnight. And this was just the war rumblings were going on in Europe. Of course, they were still quiet, but I had the vision that if something happened to him, because his health had been precarious, what would I do? While here, I felt I was capable of either going back into my former career or continuing this business. So, of course, whatever Jean said was all right with John. I made the decisions, and we did not move to Paris in a new studio. Of course, when we visited in Sweden, it was charming, it was wonderful. His people had a lot of good Swedish background. They couldn't see why John lived in the United States. Their saying was, there's room, surely, for one more Swede in Sweden, which was, of course, very funny. And we visited in the homes, and some of his friends, when we came to town, they even had in the city hall had the American flag up for us, which gave us a great feeling. And each household had a flagpole, and they flew the American flag when we visited.
Very good.
Which gave you a feeling that you might be somewhat of importance. And I thought that was a very nice sort of thing. And when also, I would find under my pillow always, wherever I visit, these little miniature, what they call tumatots over there. They're little dwarfs. They're good luck pieces.
Oh.
And that was a charming thing. Another thing that was charming, when you left, they all went, in those days you traveled by train till you got to your ship, you would go to the station, everybody brought you flowers.
Oh.
That was another little thing not need to know what to do with them when you start on your trip, but it was a nice sort of a gesture. So these are fond memories that I have of those trips. And of course, we went down to Switzerland, and my husband was photographing the sun glow on all those mountains. Mm-hmm. We run out of films, and I would run and chase and buy more films so we could photograph those sun glows, plus, of course, the architectural. Mm-hmm. And we did some beautiful things of the Castle of Chillon, just gorgeous. And when we came back to the United States, they asked us to do a national production on these, but we just didn't want to go into a mass production. But they were beautiful, so our friends received these studies. And of course, we did a lot of traveling in the United States, and of course my husband went back to Sweden just before he died in 39. In 38 he spent 5 months in Sweden. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was a great satisfaction to me when he died that he'd had this wonderful trip. Mm-hmm. His niece was married to a very prominent doctor who was in the royal house. And she was a brilliant Swedish woman. She was she held the first chair at Uppsala University in dentistry. Oh. She wrote books on dentistry. She was a very brilliant woman. And they entertained my husband all over Sweden. They would go to castles and visit for a week. The great France, way up north. It was just, and of course, all of this was recorded, and I have photographs of all these things.
You mentioned that I believe you were born in France.
Yes,
believe you gave us your maiden name.
Yes, my name was Allard, Jean Allard, A-L-L-A-R-D.
When did you come to the United States?
I came as a child in 1909. I had, I started to school when I was 2 years old.
Oh.
I was, and when we visited France, I visited this little village where I had been in the convent. And the mother superior said to my husband, she says, I want you to come. I want to show you something. And by her desk was this little chair.
Uh-huh.
And she said, there she sat.
Because
I was too young to really be. But I lived not too far from this kindergarten. Of course, they go to school earlier in France. And I ran away all the time. And I was over there all the time. And so the mother superior says, you might as well let her come. She
very
wants
good.
To be here.
Right.
So really, I think I wanted to learn very early in life.
Well, now, you have told us that you helped your husband in his photography work, and I'm sure that you learned a great deal that way. But then after his death, did you have any assistants to help you?
Yes, of course, my sister, who had lost her husband, she was associated with us even during when my husband was alive, so she became my chief assistant. She was our colorist and artist. And then we had a young lady who was very good at touching negatives. She was a very good artist. And then I kept our studio closed because I didn't like this expansion. I had many chances to expand and hire many people, but I had a great feeling of responsibility. What will happen if I do not have this volume? I couldn't stand to dismiss them. They would be part of our, so I kept the studio small.
One might wonder if it would be hard for a woman to have a career such as yours. You didn't seem to find it hard, did you?
No, I was accepted all over. And to prove it, when I became president of the Photographers of Illinois, they came to me, you see, and I was elected to this position, so there was no discrimination against women. Why another woman hasn't come up since, I can't tell you. But I there was no...
You didn't
no obstacles. In fact, any place I went, anywhere, I never found an obstacle against a woman.
Very good.
Well, what philosophy or approach to photography do you follow?
Well, my philosophy, I think, is that I like people. I like to, say, psycho them. This is it. I mean, most photographers who really work at this many years become pretty good psychologists. You cannot photograph people. You have to have communication with them. And only through this communication that you can bring out that person. You don't want an inanimate object. You have to have expression. So you have to touch on the things that interest them to bring out their expressions.
Do you do this by talking to them?
Talking. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe sometimes I talk too much being a woman. Yes. You can't, some people now give freely. Their personality just comes out. Others are a little bit reticent to give you, but I have a way. I get it out. I get it out.
Well, I'm sure you've noticed many technical changes in photography. Well, what are some of the most interesting that you found?
Well, of course, there's been a great change. Photography was really on a plateau, more or less, for a great many years. The development of the black and white photography was of a long span. Then came a revolution with color photography, which has changed the photography, the complexion of photography, I should say. If you have trained in black and white photography with all its angles, it is difficult to adopt this other method, which a great part of it is lab photography. I mean, you become a broker rather than a craftsman. Because in black and white photography, I did all the processing. I followed that from the camera room to the final product. In color photography, you don't do that. You photograph, and then labs do the rest. So I do not have the affinity because I feel it's out of my control. Where black and white is definitely under my control.
Do you notice a lot of difference in cameras?
Yes, of course, the advent, you see, I've worked with large formats in photography. I trained in that, and that is my forte. Now, the development of miniature cameras has revolutionized this altogether, so that films, a great production now is on miniature films. I still use the large formats, because the only time I use miniature films is when I take a trip and record.
What are some of your favorite photographs?
Well, possibly some of the my famous favorite photographs.
And I'm sure they're famous too.
Yeah, but my favorites have been the executive portraits I made of personalities of Decatur, and then my bridal studies of beautiful portraits of brides, which used to be the thing. It has been my privilege to record beautiful brides of Decatur of the past. We have albums of these, and they are choice studies of the gowns, the occasions of the lives of these prominent people of Decatur. We cherish those always.
Good. Do you have any secrets in dealing with people? You told us about talking to them. Anything else that you want to add about ways of dealing with people?
No, perhaps the thing that's most is my interest in that person. There is this close rapport between us, and those would be the secrets. If you're interested in people, they're going to be interested in you.
That's true. Your studio is in such a beautiful old home, and you told us how you happened to get this home. Do you know that the house has a history?
Yes, this house will be 100 years old in 1987. It was built by a man by the name of Peter Loeb, who had come to this country from Hamburg, Germany, who had a foundry, and this was his dream house. He selected As I understand it, every piece of wood that went in the house, 3 carloads of lumber were brought in for his selection. He selected the bricks that went into the exterior and the stones. And there is choice woods. We have quarter sawed oak, wild cherry, and chestnut woods throughout. The hand carving and the art glass is very choice in the windows. Every window in the house is plate glass windows. Mm. And, of course, these downstairs windows, a lot of them have the art glass, which was... The art glass is the San Jose glass. The architect was from that part of the country, and hence perhaps the San Jose art glass. But I think originally it came from Europe, and it was entered. The woods in the house, very interesting. The quarter sawed oak, all hand carved, wild cherry, and chestnut. As I understand it, when Mr. Lowe built the house, 3 carloads of lumber was brought in by the Lines Lumber Company that was in business in Decatur at that period. And he hand-picked each piece of wood that went in the house and then also hand-picked the bricks that were used in the construction.
You told us earlier, Mrs. Lindquist, about your many honors that you have received, and among them was an M.A. Mrs. Lindquist, you must have a special room in your house for all of the plaques and degrees and honors that you have received. It's really very fine that you have been recognized in your work. One of the points you mentioned earlier was an MA degree in photography. Maybe you could tell us how this is awarded, who gives it, and so on.
This is awarded by the Professional Photographers of America with the accumulation of 25 merits. The merits are accumulated from prints hung in the national convention meetings. You receive 2 merits when a print is accepted. These go through some very rigid judging. Mm-hmm. For many prints are thrown out for some little technicality. And at the accumulation of 25 merits, these must be mostly from prints hung, but also you are given credit for service to the association. Mm-hmm. You may receive 1 or 2 merits for outstanding work in service to the association. So I accumulated in the course of time 175 mm-hmm. merits, which were from prints hung and for service to the various states in the country. It was there again, you shared your knowledge with people, mm-hmm. and people are always anxious to learn, because mm-hmm. anything that you can learn just improves your status in the profession. And I had some very, very good contacts with this. I liked lecturing to my group, and they received me everywhere. Canada invited me, but I was forced to turn down, because having a business and traveling and lecturing is not always feasible. And due to the fact that I could speak French, Montreal and Quebec mm-hmm. wanted me on programs, and I always regretted that I had to turn them down, because again, that was a wider scope for my mm-hmm. profession. But I could not do both.
Well, did you ever have time for any personal life?
Well, the only personal life I had was when I traveled with our photographers in various parts of Europe, the Orient, Mexico, mm-hmm. where we met photographers, and then also became better acquainted with our mm-hmm. own group. We made trips to the Hawaiian Islands, and they were choice. The Oriental trip was very good. We were received by top photographers in Japan who entertained us royally. And we, of course, visited some of their camera works, and we were given binoculars. We were presented with gifts everywhere. It was very choice. And then when we went to Hong Kong, we were entertained by top Chinese photographers. And this gave us a different viewpoint and recognition.
So you were able to mix pleasure with business.
Oh, yes. My business was my pleasure, too. It was, some people have other hobbies. Really, photography became my hobby as well as my profession.
Do you think you will ever retire?
Well, I keep thinking maybe next year I'll do that. And next year comes along and I think I'm not ready. Because you have a feeling once you retire, you just, what's going to happen? Since my whole life has been so devoted to this profession, it's difficult to say, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I'm sure the public doesn't want you to either. So
I still have a few contacts with people who know I'm here at 300 West Prairie.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Lindquist, for this really fascinating glimpse into your life and the world of photography. And we do appreciate your reminiscences that you have given us today.
It has been a pleasure to meet you and to give you my little history of life in photography.
Good. You have been listening to the reminiscences of Jean Allard Lindquist, who has a salon de photography in Decatur. This is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library.